As we start, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, truly is our heart this morning that we pray that you would open the doors of heaven, that you would rain down upon us your kingdom come this morning, your will be done. Not just in this place, but we pray for that around the globe as we heard from our missionary family, Lord, that you would be with them and that you would do amazing work among them as they are reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we already prayed this morning as well for those in Israel, the believers that are experiencing this difficult time. Lord, we praise you that you are with your family, wherever they are. And in these moments, would you open your word to us once again and show us incredible things that you would have for us, challenging us to go deeper with you, to change the world that you have placed us in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, a church did a fundraiser, and it was a little bit different than what a normal fundraiser would go. You know, churches are notorious for repeating the same fundraisers, aren't they? The car wash, the bake sale, you know, it might be a festival of some sort with food. You know, we kind of do these things where it's y'all come out and you buy something or you donate or do something like that. But this church decided that they wanted to try a different approach to doing some fundraising. And this approach was, they, as the leadership decided, we're going to have so much money that we're going to pull out of our account, and it's going to be available to the congregation. And what you will do is you could come to the leadership and you would say, you know what, I would like to borrow $100 from the church, and I'm going to use that to start this whatever little job or craft that I'm going to do, and then I'm going to sell that. And over the period of the next several months, they had set that you would take this money, you would invest it in some way, and then at the end of the time, you would bring the money that you made as a result of that seed money that was given to you. And it worked out really well. It was very interesting because, you know, there were, maybe was a woodworker in the church that took some of the money, went and bought a bunch of wood, and was able to create something that people would buy, and he came back with more than double of what he had borrowed from the church. What a great way to raise funds, right? It worked so well. Well, this morning, we're going to ask the question, are you using it? Kind of like in that scenario, if they had been given this money, given $100, and they just kind of went and ate at McDonald's for a week, that wouldn't have been very smart. And in our life and where we're at, we have been given so much. This morning is a little bit of a continuation from last week where we talked about the rich fool that was called the fool, not because he didn't have a clue what he was doing. He was called a fool because his focus was in the wrong place. His focus was all about himself. He didn't use the things that God had blessed him with to be a blessing and to use it for other parts of what God's kingdom would do. But we're going to look at a text this morning in Matthew chapter 25. So I'd encourage you to go there with me, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be starting at verse 14, the parable of the bags of gold. The bags of gold. This is what it says. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." As we look at this parable, we should take a moment and just look at what is involved in this. Again, we got to ask the question, is what is it about? What is the parable pertaining to? Is it about investment? Is it about, when you see what this is about, if you go back to the first verse in Matthew 25, you see what this parable is about, the whole chapter is about, where it says, the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So that's all the way back to verse 1, and he says, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about the future return of Christ. Both of these parables, the 10 virgins and the parable of the gold bags, refer to the coming of Jesus when he returns. The story that we see the master who leaves and goes on a journey. The master is Jesus who has gone to heaven one day to return, like the master in the parable. Now in the parable, the master leaves what it says, talents, with each of his workers. He has 3 workers apparently. He leaves them each with something, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But a talent is not an ability per se. When we read this, a lot of times in our language we see a talent as an ability, a gift that you have. But when this was written, a talent is actually a measurement of something, a measurement of gold, a measurement of silver or of some other thing. It's a monetary amount. And as a matter of fact, if you were to look it up, a talent of gold that the master left, one talent would have been worth approximately 20 days of day labor. Was it 20 days or 20 years? I got to look at it and make sure I had this right. 20 years, sorry. About 20 years worth of a day wages labor. So somebody who just would go out, he'd work in the field, he would do that. One talent was worth 20. So you can kind of do the math there, what this would be like. That was a lot of money that he was entrusting into the care of those 3 individuals. So this is a major thing. This isn't just a little amount that he's saying, hey, while I'm going away, have a little bit of fun. No, there was a large amount, and this came with expectations. The master had expectations on these 3, just like expectations that are upon us for the kingdom of heaven. And these expectations we find in this passage, there's 4 of them. The first one that we see as an expectation is that we are to be about kingdom work. We're supposed to be about the kingdom work. When the master left and he went on vacation, or he went on this journey, wherever he was going, whatever he was going to do, the expectation of his workers was that they would continue his work there at home. There was no idea here that they were allowed to go on vacation themselves. There was not an understanding that they could relax and enjoy the time while his absence was there. You might have heard the statement that says, while the cat is away, mice will play, right? While the cat's away, the mice will play. And sometimes I don't know if you remember that as a kid growing up when you had your first job. When the boss wasn't there, what did you do? You kind of had a little bit more fun while the boss was away. The expectation here was not that. When the boss went away, they were to be about his business. And this is what we see all throughout Scripture, as a matter of fact. You go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission that we see right there our marching orders while the Master is away. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." While I am gone, I love this passage because notice what Jesus says. All authority has been given to me. I have the power and the place to tell you what you need to do. Then the word comes in, therefore. Because I have this place, because I have this authority, this is what is expected. And a lot of times we look at this and we say, well, the command is to go, right? The command is to go. Well, actually, the command, when you read this in its original language, really is as you go, as you live your life, as you go about your everyday working, make disciples. Making disciples is the command of the Great Commission. Notice something about this that parallels the parable. The master goes away and he entrusts them with these talents. And really the understanding is, I want you to do something about it. I want you to work that money. I want you to increase it. What is the Great Commission all about? Increasing the kingdom of heaven. Bringing in those who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ one person at a time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:20, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though he were making his appeal through us." We are Christ's ambassadors. We work for him. We are the ones who are presenting him wherever we go. We are God's spokesperson while he is away. Again, in Ephesians 2:10, we see a great passage, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We have been created to accomplish kingdom work while the Master is away. This is what has been happening. We have been created in advance to do these work. We are to be expected to be about kingdom work. That's expectation one. Expectation number two is we are entrusted with what we can handle. We have been given the job to do that God knows that we are capable of doing. This we see again in the passage. The master, before he goes away, he pulls all the three in of his servants in, and it says that he gives to each of them according to their ability. He didn't just simply say, "Hey guys, I've got 8 talents. I'm just going to evenly distribute it amongst all of you, and I want you to." No, actually, he gives one guy 5 talents, and he says, "I really trust you. You have the ability. I'm giving you 5 talents." To the next, he said he gave 2, and to the last, he gave 1. Now, understand something here. This is not a good, bad thing. This is not where the master said, "I trust this guy more than I trust this guy." This was all about the ability to do what he was asking that person to do. We do this all the time, actually. Even within our businesses that we work in, we are given levels of expected jobs to do, right? I mean, somebody who's new, you're not going to give them the most important job. Why? Because you don't know what their ability is yet. But even in a company where a lot of people have been working, take for example, I mean, just the church alone here. We have a great staff, credible staff. We have a great office staff. We have a great pastoral staff. God has blessed us as a church, and I love working with our staff. Next week, you get to hear from Tim. Pastor Tim gets to share with us next week. Pastor Anders the following week. There's three of us in 3 weeks that are going to be preaching. Each one is fully capable of doing that. But the one thing is, you'll notice that Pastor Tim won't preach every single week. Is it because he's not good? No. I love listening to Tim. I love growing under his teaching. He does a great job, but he has other responsibilities. And to lay that burden on him would be too much. You think about, look at what you have in your hand. You have a newsletter or a bulletin. Look at the PowerPoint that is up there. Can I tell you something? If I had to do that, you know what would be up on the screen right now? A black screen with a lot of mistakes. Nobody would give me that job. That's not in my capabilities. Gretchen does an incredible job. We have this church is being used all the time. You know what? If I had to sit there and someone walks up to me on a Sunday and says, hey, can I use the church on this date? I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. But you walk up to Jeannie and she knows everything. You see, it's the same idea that he's saying in here. To each person, you are entrusted with what you can handle. You are given what you are capable of doing. In Luke chapter 16, we read about the shrewd manager. He was given a job to do. He didn't do it. So the manager comes and he's about ready to fire him. He tells him, you're going to have to give an account for what you have. So the shrewd manager goes out and he does these, what I call unethical dealings with the people who owed the master. And he did it in order to find a place to land after he was fired. And in that, in verse 10 of Luke chapter 16, Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. We are given what we can handle. Even Paul, look at the words that he used to encourage Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says to Timothy, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy, the things that I have, I am entrusting into your care the truth of the gospel. What you are to do is now you are to take that truth, entrust it into other people who are reliable and qualified to do so. Notice that Paul does not tell Timothy, just go and throw this to every person that you can find. He says, go and find those who are capable, entrusted with that one job. Let me bring a little bit of word of encouragement here in this moment. Sometimes we are asked to do something that might be uncomfortable. Maybe it's we're asked to teach, or maybe it's we're asked to lead, or we're asked to be a part of some ministry, and oftentimes our first response is, oh, I could never do that. You know, if the pastor came to you and said, hey, would you preach next Sunday? How many of you would be like, oh, absolutely, I'm in. Most of you wouldn't even think twice about it. You'd be like, no thanks. I'll do just about anything else. I'll even wash toilets, just don't make me preach. But remember that when we are called to do kingdom advancement work, that God is giving us what we can handle. He's not going to give us what we can't handle. He will give us exactly what we're capable of doing. And sometimes in our minds, we are capable of doing far less than what God has created us to be able to do. Our expectation is that we are to be entrusted with what we can handle to advance the kingdom. But beyond that, we also connected to that. If God is entrusting us with it, the next expectation is that we are going to be provided with everything that we need. God will provide all that I will need to be able to accomplish what He has set before me to do. In the parable of the talents, the master, before he goes away, he pulls in the three servants. Now, could you imagine if the master, when he pulls in these three servants, he sits them down, he says, guys, I'm going to go away for a while. Make my estate expand. And then just walked out the door. How well do you think that would have gone over? That would have been a tough thing. I mean, he didn't give them anything. He didn't give them any warning, nothing. He just simply says, I expect that you are going to advance my estate. And when I come back, I better be in the better place than I was when I left. That would be such a hard thing. But notice what he does. He says to the first one, he goes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 5 talents. This is 5 talents of my money. This is not your money. This is my money. I'm giving you 5 talents of my money, a huge sum of money. And when I'm going away, I want you to do something with that. So when I come back, that's been put to use. All right, I'm going to do that. He was entrusted with it. He was provided for. Another guy comes in. He goes, hey, I'm going to give you 2 talents worth of money. So I want you to take those 2 talents that I am providing for you, everything that you need, and I want you to go and make that work. All right. Third guy comes in. I'm giving you 1 talent, still a huge sum of money to that guy. And I just want you to go about, and I want you to accomplish something with this, okay? All right. He gave them what they needed. He provided what they needed in order to accomplish the work that was before them. I remember when I first stepped on the college campus and I was going to play football. I walked in and, you know, the only thing I had in my hands was a pair of cleats. Now, if you know anything about football, cleats aren't going to get you very far. Now, I could have walked on there and the coach could have walked up to me and he would have said, Pete, we're excited that you're here. You know what? You're going to play quarterback and we're going to win a lot of games and we're going to have a great season. Let's go out and let's do it. It would have been a horrible thing because I didn't have anything. I didn't have a helmet. I didn't have pads. I didn't have the pants. I didn't have the jersey. All I had was the cleats. And could you imagine if I ran out onto the field, the first play that happens, what would have happened? I'd have been in the hospital. You get these big guys coming at you. They want to kill you already. And if you don't have the pads on, it's going to hurt really bad. But what the coach did was he said, Pete, we got to get you geared up. I'm going to give you everything that you need to succeed in the position that I'm placing you in. And he takes me to the equipment closet and he starts grabbing this. He goes, here, you'll need this helmet. Here, you'll need these shoulder pads. You'll need these rib protectors. You'll need this. You'll need that. And I walked out with more than just a pair of cleats. I was fully provided to be able to accomplish the job that was set before me. I love the words of Paul in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You know, again, we often misuse this passage of Scripture. We often put it as, you know what? Whatever I can put my mind to, I can do. And that's not what it's talking about. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can have everything I need in the provision of Christ. He will strengthen me to do the purpose for which he has set me to do. He has entrusted me with a job. He will provide everything that I need. And look at Ephesians 3:20. If that's not good enough, look at Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I love this because, again, don't we tend to limit God? We tend to say, oh, God, I can't do that. I'm not capable of doing that. That's not in my gifted area. Or, you know, we'll kind of say, oh, I don't know, I got to pray about it. But notice what he says. That when God entrusts us to do work for the kingdom, he is going to provide immeasurably more than what we could ever think or imagine or ask. He wants to do more within that. He's going to provide more. Let me put you into a scenario. Let's say after church, Pastor Anders or Mabry, our children's director, approaches you and says, would you teach a class for us? What would you say? Probably the first thing, oh, I have to pray about that one. Do we ever stop and think, this is beyond my area of comfort? I'm not really feeling great about this, but God can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. Could you imagine if we functioned that way for the kingdom, that we just simply said, God, whatever it is that you're asking, I know that you're going to provide. You will do exactly what you want. And we just jump into kingdom work. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. We look at others and we often think, oh, I could never do what they do. We look at a guy who stands up front like this and preaches and go, oh, I could never preach. Let me tell you something. Almost every guy who's standing up there preaching at one time said the same thing. Almost every one of them at some point in time looked and said, God, oh, I could never do that job. Do you want to know what the difference is? That person submitted to God and simply said, yes. I know that you can do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. And they have experienced how God has provided in ways in which they couldn't have asked or imagined. You probably, some of you, have that same experience. That you can tell the same story in a different way. He will provide. But then the last expectation is this. We will give an account for our work. We will stand before God. Yeah, that is very true. We'll give an account of the work in which we have. Look at the story of the parable. Now, this is the interesting part. We often look at this point, we're going to have to give an account as a negative, right? We're like, yeah, we're going to have to stand before God. Ooh, we're going to have to stand before God. But look at the story. In the parable, the master comes back, and yeah, he calls into account. The first guy walks in, he goes, Master, look at what I've done. You gave me 5 talents, and look, here's 5 more. Do you think that guy walked in before God going, oh, I don't want to do this? No. You can tell he was excited. Look at what I've been able to do for you, Master. And you hear the master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, I trusted you with this much. I'm going to trust you with more. You know what? Enter into your master's happiness. That was a pretty good account, wasn't it? The second guy walks in and he gets the same treatment. Look, master, you gave me 2. Here's 2 more. I have accomplished what you asked me to do. I've doubled your money. I've doubled your estate that you gave to me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to give you more because you've proven yourself. Enter into your master's happiness. You notice that the third guy had the same opportunity as the other two. He was given a talent. He could have walked in that day with 2 talents in his hand. He could have gone, Master, I took the 1 talent. Look, I got another talent for you. I know it's not 5 what that other guy did, but I got you. You know what the master would have said if he would have came in with even a 0.5 talent? Well done, good and faithful servant. But this one comes in and he goes, you know what, God, you know what, Master? I know that you're a tough guy and I know that you have high expectations and I know that you're harsh and you reap what you don't sow, you glean where you didn't plant, all of these things. And he kind of comes up with all of these excuses why he couldn't be about the Master's work. And notice the words that were said about him. You wicked and lazy servant, get out of my sight. You buried it in the ground. You didn't even try. You didn't even put it in the bank. We will give an account. We see this throughout all of Scripture, actually. Matthew 12:36, we read, but I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. So we're going to give an account of our words. Romans 14, 12. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So our words, ourselves, who we are, how we chose to live this life. Hebrews 4, 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. He already sees it all, but everything is going to be laid bare. Hebrews 13, 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Leaders are going to have to give an account for how they lead. You know what? Followers are going to have to give an account for how they followed. In every aspect of our life, we're going to give an account, just like these servants who came in to the master to hear what he had to say. We're going to give an account. Now, you can look at those, and that's where a lot of times we get this, oh man, I'm not looking forward to that day. Because we kind of go in with this mindset of he's going to find every little bad thing that I did, and those are going to be on the big screen of eternity, and it's going to be horrible, and it's going to be bad, right? Don't we kind of have that mentality? But look at what Jesus says in Luke 6:38. Given it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Now, isn't that changes the account giving a little bit? Because what he's saying is this, look, how you use what has been given to you will be reflected upon by reward, by blessing, what God is going to do. If we take the things that God has given, he says, here's 5 talents, or here's 2 talents, or here's 1 talent, or if here's a half a talent. Whatever he says, here is what I am entrusting into your hands to accomplish for kingdom purposes. When we use it for his purposes, it says that it will be blessed. I love those words. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured out into your lap. You know what? To me, that sounds like a pretty cool giving of an account. Where we can stand before God and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can trust into your care more. Enter into your master's happiness. This changes the way in which we serve. We can serve in one of two ways. We can be the servant that serves out of fear, the one who is like, I don't want to stand before God and be the guy with the 1 talent. I don't want to hear him say, you wicked, lazy servant. I don't want to have God throw the book at me when I get there, so I just better make sure that I do at least the minimum. I don't want to serve that way. We can be that servant, or we can be the servant that serves in joy, knowing that we are about the kingdom's work. I think that the two guys that were given the five talent and the 2 talent, as they went out, they wanted to please the master. Because notice how they came back. Master, look what I've done. I took what you gave me and I multiplied it. I'm more than what you had before. We can serve in joy and in the hopes and the reality that when we serve in joy, we will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The master is on a journey. Our master is going to return someday. The master is entrusted to each of our hands. Talents. Are you using those talents for the kingdom? And will you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when he returns? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you see fit to entrust anything into our hands. And as we look at the world around us, we see that there are so many that do not have that relationship with you. And we've been given the greatest story ever told. The good news of Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and risen from the dead, returning one day to take us to be with Him for all eternity. Lord, may we take that talent and may we multiply it in the lives of others, so that one day we would hear our servant when he returns say to each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest." May we be faithful to use what you provide into our care and be about kingdom work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.